Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
It is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan, along for the ride as well. It was great having Stephen Brault drop by yet again for the second consecutive week yesterday, but it is so good to have my good friend back from his road trip. You know, I'm going to tell you, if the Twins keep winning, you're going to have to travel everywhere, not just a few games a month.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. It's a lot easier to be in the booth when the team is on a 10-game winning streak. Things are light. You can have fun with it. You know, the guys want you around. They're willing to give interviews. So it was a lot of fun. But thank you to Steven for filling in for me. He's always great when he comes in. I always come back and read the comments. Oh, Steve's so good. Get Trevor out of here. You know what? I'm not going anywhere.
Stop. Okay, enough. Enough with the insecurities. You know what? Seriously.
Am I insecure?
Well, when you talk that way about it, listen, it's great that people like somebody we bring on. That's the whole point, is that we bring good people on. And by the way, you should feel badly for Brault right now because his team's struggling. He's like, oh boy, what did we talk about today in Pirates land? You know,
it gets difficult when teams are struggling. You have to, like, you know, have a lot of connections within the organization, but you got to kind of call it like it is. And then you got to face these people face to face.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. You think
I don't got that problem right now, Chris?
No, you don't. No. You got some first world problems in the baseball world. A lot to get to. Let's start with the tip of the cap for one of our catches of the year. It's going to be, once the season is said and done, Stuart Fairchild at Petco Park. Go get it. I love it when we got one of those yard sale catches where everything goes everywhere. That was pretty good.
It was awesome, man. You know, that's like full extension going up and getting it. I love, you know, he knew where the wall was. That was like a perfect jump. You know, when you see outfielders go back and they're on the warning track, they jump up, he catches it, he knows he's going to hit the wall. Like, that is not an easy thing to do, especially to hold on to that ball as you just kind of get, like, catapulted backwards from the impact. Sorry, Manny. Dang.
Hey, man, even though that's his home ballpark, Manny's going to stop hitting to that exact spot because it was 7 years ago in the World Baseball Classic when Adam Jones took it. Like, that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, holy shit, isn't that the same place?
It's funny, but you know what, man? He's hit so many homers. All right, he can have a few taken back from him.
That's fine.
A lot more to come, too.
Let's start with the end of the game at Citi Field. It was really unreal. Cubs nursing a 1-0 lead. Mets have the tying run at third with one out. And then here's what happened. Give a listen.
1-2 coming. And McNeil flies one toward the left field line. Tagging up is Alonzo. Half moves over, makes the catch. Here comes Alonzo. Here comes the throw. It's cut off front of the plate. He's out!
Okay, watch it bounce, and it goes up. And then it'll slap down again. Does the tag go on first?
So close. It is so close.
After review, two calls on the field. Blocking is confirmed. There is no blocking. After review, the call of out. And the field stands, runners out.
So the Cubs win the game. Oh, my goodness. The ball is upheld. Carlos Mendoza wants to talk to Chad Fairchild.
What do you mean?
The Mets can't believe it, but looking at the replays, you can understand why both of those calls were made. Amaya had his foot on the plate, but gave Alonzo the lane.
If you're going to talk to me, I'm not in replay. I'm telling you what they told me.
The rule says you cannot stand a home plate without the baseball.
I'm not arguing with you, Carlos, but I'm saying I don't see that.
Hey, that's bullshit.
Take that up with the office.
Thank you, Chad Fairchild, or whomever left his microphone on, because that was the best stuff that we've had since Terry Collins put his ass in a jackpot, you know, with Tom Hallion. I mean, that was great stuff.
It was. When you actually can hear exactly what they're saying, you don't have to rely on John Boy to read the lips. It's fun. Although I'm sure he's already started the breakdown of the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's go over exactly what happened. Did the Mets get screwed?
Like, I think they didn't, but like, according to the rule, like, I think the umpires called it correctly because the throw did take him into the lane. There was a sliding lane, but like, what are you supposed to do as a runner right there? First of all, I don't like Pete Alonso going in there head first. I don't think you should really ever slide into the plate head first. The catchers have too much gear. The ability to go into the line to catch the ball and block it with all that gear on is just, it's a recipe for disaster. There are times where you can do it, but I feel like those are few and far between. I just don't know what a runner is supposed to do. You know, like, this is what I want to happen. This is what it's going to sound stupid, Chris, but I really think that we have the technology and the ability to do this. Home plate is the only plate, right? It's not a base. Mm-hmm. Nothing's protruding up. So we see all the time people trying to slide in there. Same thing that happened with Pete's hand happens with guys' feet all the time, where they go above the plate because that's just kind of what happens when you slide.
Well, flat.
I think that we should have the ability to raise the plate when we, like, after the pitch is done. Like, we can easily do
that. Whoa. To hit a button and all of a sudden out of the ground it goes,
boom. Yeah, what, you think we can't do that?
I did not think this is where the discussion was going
to
go.
I think we need to do that. I think it would change a lot of things at the plate. It would give the base runner the ability to slide into something and not just into someone's shin guard. Catchers don't want contact anymore. That's why all this got started. Catchers do not want, you know, collisions at the plate. We want to keep our best players on the field. But like, we went from protecting or from letting the catchers get blown up to now making it very difficult for the runners to do anything. It's actually a very dangerous slide for all the runners coming into home plate. So going back to your original question, did the Mets get screwed? I don't think they got screwed.
Okay.
You know, Carlos Mendoza was very adamant about, like, the catcher can't have his foot on the base, but I think you can if your other foot's in fair territory, and then you can go into the lane if the ball takes you there.
Okay. So Andy Martino, who covers the Mets.
I saw that.
Did you see that picture?
Yeah.
Dan, do we have that available? The one where, they sent out apparently a memo in spring training. Here's three instances where we're going to call blocking the plate on you. All right. And so Dan is hopefully going to get that up so that we can share that with our audience. But one of them, you're getting it now, even though I sent it to you last night. But that's
number one, let's just go back to Pete Alonso. I thought he was safe. I thought he got his hand in there. The replay shows
his hand. That one is really close. That one's really, really close. Like, if you call him out on the field, I understand
why. Most likely going to be a stand, yes.
Yeah. Now, Chad Fairchild pulled the old okey-doke because I think Martino deleted his tweet? Oh, that's what we're being told. Oh, okay. All right, so apparently he probably got a call from the league office, which is like, you better take that shit down or we're going to do something to you.
Guess what? You can find it other places. Once he takes it down, it's already been shared a million times though.
So the point is that one of the three images that apparently they sent out in spring training was a catcher's foot on home plate.
But his other foot was in foul territory.
I'm just telling you,
You see that?
No, it's the first picture you need to look at. That's what we need to look at.
What are we looking at? What am I missing here?
I don't know. Dan, bring that up more. All right. Where's the one where his foot? No. There's, oh my God, they changed it. That's what they did. They changed this from last night's tweet. They had one where his foot was on home plate. I swear to God, I'm not making that up. That's the one I saw, and that's what happened last night.
The foot was on home plate, but he did give the front of the plate for Alonso to slide. He did give a lane for him to slide in. But it's like, again, I am on the base runner's side here. Like, that's not much to go on. There's nothing to slide into. You're just sliding over something. Like, that's why I think, like, I'm being serious. You think I'm messing around with this, like, base that comes up out of the ground? But, like, you could do that. And like, that would alleviate a lot of these freaking problems, man. I think we went the other way, way too far. We're protecting the catchers way too much and putting all the base runners, you know, in peril here now.
Okay. So there's the picture last night of the Cubs catcher with his foot on home plate and his right foot is in fair territory. I remember a few years ago that Austin Hedges got called because he had a foot on home plate. I don't remember where the other foot was, I'll be honest with you, but I don't know. So now I'm more confused than I was last night, and I thought I had this thing figured out.
That's the problem, Chris, is you and I and the players on the field, like we watch and play, have played a lot of baseball in our lives, and we don't understand what's going on. We don't fully grasp how this rule should be interpreted, because if you do go look at the rule, it's a ton of gray area,
right?
A lot of like up to the discretion of the umpire, you know, like, so it can be called a bunch of different ways. It just depends on who's in the booth.
Okay.
Who's in New York if they're reviewing it? Who's on the field? Like, it can be called differently.
Right. And that's what Chad Fairchild's point was. Hey, listen, I hear you, Carlos. I'm not in the booth. I'm not in replay this week. I am here on the field, so take it up with the league office. And you know what? He should. Let me ask you this, because this is the fourth show this week where we have talked about umpiring. And I don't think we're looking for it. I think there are obviously things that we needed to talk about. Would you like it if Major League Baseball, every time there was some sort of clear issue, I'm not talking about everything with balls and strikes and every little thing that happens, but there were four instances this week where I think fans needed clarification. Would you like it if somebody from the league office came out, more than just issuing a memo, and sat down and said, here's why it's this way. Here's why the umpires made this call. Here's why replay backed it. And here's why the umpires were okay with throwing out Freddy Peralta. Like, would you like that or no?
Yeah, I think I would. Who are the guys? I'm blanking on his name right now. I feel so bad. The guy that does, you know, the NFL, when they run the networks that run these games, they always have some sort of rules, you know, official that helps people understand what's going on the field. Why can't we have that with Major League Baseball? Like, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, okay, let me tell you two things. First of all, you're thinking of Mike Pereira and Dean Blandino. Those are the guys at Fox.
Mike Pereira's my guy, yes.
And they have been phenomenal. They are very helpful, for the most part, for NFL viewers. San Diego Padres, who are one of the two or three teams that Major League Baseball has taken over the broadcasting because of the Bally's issue, okay? They have been testing it on the Padres broadcast. They bring a guy in, like, once a week, and I think they're using it as kind of a test run to see if it works, if it's helpful. But there's no question that they need somebody for every broadcast. The problem is that there's not a national package every night, right? It's all regionally.
Yeah, but if you have a guy in New York that's, you know, they're already working all the games, like a crew is working all of the games, you can connect them to whatever feed you need to connect them to.
Yeah, I agree. So I think we've solved that part of it. Major League Baseball, if you want to take our idea here, have one person that you could flip over from feed to feed to feed. It doesn't matter whether it's on Bally's or your own MLB-run broadcast or on YES or NESN, MASN. We don't care what it's on. Just get the help to the viewer at home.
What about my plate erection? What do you think about that?
Your plate chubby?
Yeah. All of a sudden just goes like this.
How do you get hired for that? Like, is that the only person's job? Like, I'm showing up to be the play director.
It legit could be like on any batted ball. There's just some software program that raises the plate. I don't think AI is coming, Chris.
No,
you don't think AI can figure out when and not to raise the plate?
Let's not take away jobs. What are you doing?
We're adding a job just to press a button?
Yes.
Fine. Okay.
If it's that important, ask the Mets today if they would
like
to have
that job.
Person. Because what happens if you're expecting the plate to be raised and nobody hits the button? Now what?
I mean, we'll figure that out. Computers don't mess up, Chris. That's the whole point.
All right. Okay, just to clean this up, Martino's tweet was not deleted. Our amazing producer, Dan Rourke, had trouble opening it up. But listen, I'm not going to sit here and poke fun at Dan. I'm not going to do, as much as I want to right now, I'm not going to do it because he does such an amazing job.
I implore everyone to go read this rule and then try to like see if you can figure it out. It's just ridiculous. I'm reading it right now. I'm like, there's so many outs in it. There's loopholes in this rule like crazy.
All right, lost in the ending in Queens was the dominance of Shota Imanaga yet again. 7 shutty, 7 Ks. His .7 ERA is the lowest for a big leaguer's first 6 starts since Fernando Valenzuela back in 1981. Shouldn't this be a bigger story than it is?
I think so, Chris. It's weird. Like, I feel like we pick and choose. Baseball picks and chooses who we want to build up. You know, we've been talking about Shota for a long time. As soon as we heard in spring training about like the stuff being so nasty, you and I have been kind of all over this guy. That's, you don't hear that being said a lot. The way they were talking about him. And then he's just come out and been as good as you can be. You're talking Fernando Mania type stuff here. And he's funny and he plays for a big market team. And like, yeah, I think it maybe should be, he should be talked about a little more, but I think it's starting to get that way a little bit. I mean, the teams he's done it against, like he's done it against some big market teams too. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have seen this guy put up these numbers, and I don't know. I'm assuming we're going to get some Shota Mania coming soon. Like, yeah, because he does need to be talked about a little more on the national scale. I know in Chicago, they're loving this guy. I know you and I have been kind of, you know, singing his praises for quite some time, but he's just so fun. The way he's a pitcher, and he's basically a two-pitch guy, Chris. Like, he's got the fastball, the splitter. He throws a sweeper every once in a while, just to keep you honest. I think it's like 8% or something like that. But he's heavily fastball. He's got a 9-run value on his four-seam fastball. We're talking 5-6 starts into his career. It's crazy.
Yeah, I can't explain why people aren't making a bigger deal about it. Like Yamamoto, who, by the way, 6 more shutout innings last night, had a phenomenal.
I think a lot of that's tempered as well. It hasn't been crazy talking about Yamamoto either.
It hasn't been. Well, people were wondering, oh my God, they paid $325 million for this guy or whatever it was. Well, he's actually quietly, ever since that first start over in South Korea, has been between solid and excellent. And I don't know what it is. Just for fun, I went back and looked at Fernando's start to his career, because I was 10 at the time. I was like, yeah, this is... And obviously, we didn't cover baseball the way we do today. His first 8 starts were all complete games.
No way.
He had 5 shutouts in that span.
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was that good, Chris. And I'm from LA, and I understand the you know what that means to the city and to Dodgers fans. I did not know it was 8 shutouts or 8 complete games, 5 shutouts.
8 straight shutouts to start his career. Not his career. He had pitched in 1980, but to start that season, that's pretty remarkable. I hope Shota gets a little more love. He's really funny. He just did a great interview, it looks like, on MLB Central with my friends over there. He had a great response to, like, you know, what's the most interesting thing about America since you've been here? And he said the fact that you can turn right on red. That's pretty good.
I see Fernando at Dodger Stadium, like, all the time.
Oh, well, I mean, he's part of the broadcast team there. He does it, yeah. And they finally retired his jersey last year, which is...
He's got some nice white teeth, man. I don't know if those are his, but they're nice and white.
He's amazing. I wish he could have started his career right now with social media. It would have been bonkers. It would have been crazy.
Heck yeah, dude.
All right. You know how much I love my dog, Sydney. Love her, love her, love her. She is my best friend. She's the only one that doesn't yell at me, except when I don't take her for a walk and when it's time to eat. Why? Because she loves the Farmer's dog food. It is food that has been developed by vets, made from real fresh meat and veggies, pre-portioned for your dog, and it's delivered right to your door. It isn't just fresh, higher quality food. They also send this pre-packaged to you. It actually says Sydney's name on it. So it means they care enough to print a label and say, Sid, this is for you. It's smart, healthy pet food. You can feel great about feeding your pup or those senior dogs out there. It's not that kibble. It's not that canned goo. It's real healthy food, and your dogs will see the benefit. They will have more energy. They will sleep better. They will poop better. They will exercise better. Why? Because they're just feeling great. And it's really easy. You just head on over to the Farmer's Dog website and you fill out a questionnaire. It takes less than 5 minutes. We're talking about filling out the age of your dog, the breed of your dog, how much exercise it gets, what it normally eats, and then voila, they send it to you in this cool box. You put it right in the freezer, and then 24 hours before you need a new package, you just put it in the fridge and it'll thaw it on its own and it's good to go. So help keep your dog healthy and playing ball with you. You're also going to get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/today. Plus you get free shipping, which is a big deal because it's a big beefy box. head on over to thefarmersdog.com/today. You're going to get half off that first box. Believe me, they will love it. Your dog will love you. And at the end of the day, what's better than having those sweet little puppy eyes look up and say, ra-ra-ru, daddy, ra-ra-ru. I know you love this. Look what I'm wearing. Oh, look what I'm wearing for
you. I love it.
Twins cap, right?
That's the BP hat, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice one. So your team actually gets the day off, which is probably a bad thing because they've ripped off 10 in a row for the first time since 2008. But is that a bigger deal than possibly losing Byron Buxton, who had to leave Wednesday's game because of a knee issue?
Is it a bigger deal that they've won 10 games in a row? I mean, I will say this. I don't know the extent of Byron's injury yet. That was he took off two more times before that, two foul balls. So he did three sprints to second base. And on the third one, we don't know what happened. He just kind of came up lame. At first, I thought it was soft tissue. At the end, they said it was knee soreness. So obviously, they're going to evaluate him, see what's going on. And it'll be a big loss to the Twins. I'll say that. You know, he's been playing a great center field. Just his presence in the lineup every single day means a lot to the organization. You have to game plan around him. His bat was okay. I think he hasn't been feeling great, but he's been coming along a little bit. I talked to Dave Popkins, the hitting coach, about him, and he said that it was probably his best day in the cage the last couple of days. He was kind of figuring some stuff out, had a big hit in the White Sox series. The Twins can be okay without him. They need him there, but the Twins still have enough there. They're getting a lot of offensive power right now from guys like Jeffer, Kirilloff, Julian. You know, they're having good at-bats by Trevor Larnach. Like, there's guys there that can do it. They need Byron in there for sure. But I think that they still have enough to keep going. I don't know. It sucks that he's gone. I really don't know how to answer this question, Chris. I mean, it sucks that he's gone, but they have enough in their lineup on that roster to get by without him.
It sucks more for Byron Buxton than it does for the Twins. And that, I think that's
okay,
probably
that's
the,
fair.
That's probably the nicest way of saying it. I was shocked, even though I've read this stat a bunch. Every time I see it, I think I'm just more sad than anything else that he's played 100 games in a season one time in his career. One time. Like, at the end of the day, we're going to see it. And he seems like the sweetest guy, too. I don't know him.
He's great.
Everybody loves him.
He's
right.
Great. He's great.
So I just want him on the field for his sake. You know, I mean, he's set for life. He's got a 9-figure deal. That's not what it's about. He wants to be out there for his guys and his city. And the organization that took him number 2 overall. And I want to see him out there. But the fact is that the Twins are hitting the shit out of the baseball. I don't care whether it came against the White Sox and the Angels during this 10 games. You're averaging 7.5 runs a game during that streak. You're doing something good. They're back in this thing. And who the hell knows? This might end up being a 4-team race in this division.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. They played really well. Timely hitting. They weren't hitting with runs in scoring position before the streak, and then they started hitting with runs in scoring position. And I said this on the broadcast yesterday. That's not rocket science. If you're not hitting with runs in scoring position, you're going to start losing games. And if you are hitting with runners in scoring position, you're going to start winning games. It's kind of the main thing about your offense. Get runners on and score them. So I think they're going to be okay. To me, they need Royce Lewis back. Like,
yes, that's
more than anything.
That's the big one.
But I do feel bad for Byron because he does work hard, and he was playing an awesome center field.
All right, let's move on. The Houston Astros, second straight extra inning game against the Cleveland Guardians, who, by the way, have played 4 consecutive extra inning games. They did that for the first time since 1910. The Guardians won last night. They did not have to face Josh Hader. That's because Hader had thrown 33 pitchers in the Astros walk-off win on Tuesday. 33, you're thinking, well, that's a lot for an inning. Well, he actually worked multiple innings for the first time in 4 years during the regular season. Hader told Brian McTaggart, who covers the Astros for MLB.com, he said he's willing to pitch multiple innings like he did on Tuesday now that he has a contract with the Astros and they share the same risks. When Hader was an arbitration-eligible player, he said the only thing that had value in the ARB system was saves, so pitching multiple innings was not worth anything. Do you appreciate his honesty, and do you think that more young closers who are ARB eligible and don't have that long-term contract should adhere to this thinking?
I don't hate it, Chris. I mean, you have to decide, you know, for yourself what stance you want to take. If you go into arbitration, you hear this from a lot of guys, they tell you lots of stuff. So, you know, during one of his cases, that's what they said. They said, we don't care about multiple innings because he was doing that prior to having this arbitration case. Multiple innings don't mean anything. Saves mean something, which is kind of, it's kind of crazy how they pick and choose what means something in arbitration. Mm-hmm. But if your team is telling you that, that multiple innings don't mean something, and the only saves do, and they're not offering you like a legitimate long-term contract, I think it's okay to protect yourself. I do. I really do. I mean, this is your shot. This is your career. And if they're telling you a certain thing isn't worth anything, then why would you kind of do it? And it's not like he's so selfish. Oh, we're going to lose all these baseball games because of it. It's like, hey, there's another freaking, you know, six or seven guys in this bullpen that can get the job done. It's not all about me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the stance I would take. And now, look, I think it's great that he's saying, look, now I'm locked into a contract and the risk is shared. They gave me money. They need me to be out there performing. All I care about now, I don't have to worry about arbitration or, you know, performing at a certain level to, you know, to get what I believe I'm owed or earned. It's already set in, and now he's willing to do it. I think it's awesome. I think, you know, like the honesty is there, and he's been pretty transparent about it the entire time. So I don't know if every closer needs to do this, but if somebody else followed in his footsteps and said the same thing, I would say, hey, this is what the organization is telling you. So I have no problem with it, Chris. And again, I appreciate the honesty. And you know what? I don't know if he needs to throw two innings all the time, but I'm kind of like looking forward to seeing him being used in a different role.
Yeah, he actually looked great the other night. He struck out four Guardians. He did end up giving up.
And he did it in the playoffs, too. I think we need to talk about, like, remember that. 2022, he did do it in the playoffs. He always said, I'll pitch it more in the playoffs.
Well, but Padre fans will roll back to last season when they were trying to fight like hell to get back into the wild card contention. And it didn't happen. And remember when Bob Melvin said, hey, listen, that's the situation we're in. And he didn't really get into it much. He said, this is the situation we're in. Now, we don't know what sort of conversations were held behind closed doors, right? If Hader said, hey, listen, I will bust my balls for you guys for one inning every time. I will do it for one inning, but I cannot put myself at risk. I've got free agency coming up. You guys are going to continue long after I'm here. But this is the only thing, this left shoulder is all I got for me and to set up my family for generations. And I can't be mad at that.
I can't be mad at that either.
And I understand why baseball fans are. Like, I totally get it. I have put decades and decades of myself out there to be a Cleveland Guardians / Indians fan. I have sat through a ton of losing, and it would hurt me to hear a guy say, you know what, I'm just not available today for you. I'm just not. But when you think about it, think about what you would do for your family. For your family, for the most important people in your life. I will put the needs of Michelle, Josh, and Brady above anything else in this world. Anything else. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it makes me look like with my John Boy Media family, who I consider family, my NFL Network family, my BattleBots family. I just don't care, because at the end, I care more about them. So you have to take a step back, I think, a little bit here.
I think putting yourself in someone's shoes makes sense. And, you know, a lot of times we get caught up in like the dollar figure. If you just take that out of the equation and your work said, hey, like you're not like you working these four extra hours, you're not getting paid for that, buddy.
Right.
You probably wouldn't do it. You'd go home to your family, right? That's kind of the same thing. Other guys can do it. Other guys are getting paid to do it. They could do it.
Well, I think Hader said something smart here, and it's not verbatim, but McTaggart put it in the tweet, and he said he is willing to pitch multiple innings now that he has a contract with the Astros and they share the same risks, which means that the Astros aren't going to be willing to throw him out there multiple innings all the time because you don't want to do that with your closer.
You don't want to do that with your closer. Teams aren't looking to just throw, they're not looking to throw Hader for three innings every time he goes out there. That's just not how it works. You want to keep him as fresh as possible. If there are certain situations where it's like, hey, like, you got to put a fire out in the eighth and then get you back out there for the ninth. I think, you know, those come up from time to time. Haters saying, no, I'm willing to do that. Mm-hmm. We're sharing the risk. I think that's a great part of the quote as well.
All right. We got one more thing coming your way. But first, Trevor Plouffe with a word from our sponsors.
Yeah, a new sponsor, Blackbox Sports AI. It's one of our favorite tools to get the edge for MLB betting. They have their own in-house algos that helps predict MLB outcomes. The recipe is fed from the same data sources used by the league, you know, major TV networks and other things. So there's tens of thousands of data points, which help them make their picks confidently. And, you know, this does sound a little bit too good to be true, but you know what? See for yourself on the How It Works page. The thing I really appreciate about Blackbox Sports is their transparency. They post their winners and their losers publicly so you can verify it yourself. A lot of times these places will just put up their winners and say, look at me, but they'll also post the losses. I really like that. They hit on over 68% of their picks last season. That's nice. Blackbox Sports AI is the tool to bet smarter. Get started today by using code JOHNBOY at blackboxsportsai.com for $100 off the whole regular season subscription. That's code JOHNBOY at blackboxsportsai.com. Bet MLB smarter with Blackbox.
All right. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the beekeeper out in Arizona, how he saved the day, and Matt Hilton. Just, I mean, he's been on national shows. It's been a great ride for him. Well, Topps is also coming out with a beekeeper card.
Oh my gosh, bro.
First of all, I want to give him credit because I was like, man, where are the bees? Well, they've got him with his hands raised playing to the crowd and then the shot of the bees. And look at the background of the card. Look at the background.
Unbelievable.
It's got the little honeycomb look to it. So
unbelievable.
I'm digging it. And kudos to the Diamondbacks who put out a one-day promotion where you buy one ticket, you get another one bee free.
Oh, sure.
For this weekend series.
Let me say this. Like, Matt, I enjoyed what you did. You had your moment. You got to throw a first pitch. Now you're getting a card. What about the pool man out there? He keeps that freaking pool in the jacuzzi clean and looking good all season long. He doesn't get to throw at a first pitch. He doesn't get a baseball card. I don't know, man. I think we need to reevaluate what's going on there. Give the pool man some love.
Okay, when did the pool person, I don't know if it's a man or a woman out there, when did the pool person ever save the day so that the Diamondbacks could continue with the game?
One of the most identifying factors of that ballpark is
yes.
The pool in right center field, okay? So you have to keep it clean and healthy so people can go in it, Chris. So every day he saves the day. Can you imagine if there was an algae outbreak in that pool and it was green? People would be running for the hills.
Hey, I'm fine. If you want to give the pool person, whomever that is, some love, I'm all for it. Well, why are you trying to hate on my beekeeper?
I'm not hating on the
yes,
guy.
You
maybe,
are. That's
maybe
exactly.
I'm a little jealous of this guy. He's getting a lot of run right now.
That's exactly what it was. Hey, what about the pool people of America?
I'm always going to fight for the little guy, man.
Did you ever jump in somebody's pool while you were cleaning it? Just, it was so nice. You were like, you know what?
No, I've fallen in, though, multiple times.
Really?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's just part of being a pool man is, like, you're going to fall in the pool.
Oh, that sucks.
You know, you're skimming, you're trying to get, like, an edge, you're brushing the walls, and you're trying to get way down there, and you just reach a little too far, your foot gives, and you're gone. I mean, I've fallen probably, like, 5 or 6 times that's happened. My dad's probably done it way more than that. And you just keep going with your day. What are you supposed to do? You got to work.
Does your dad clean your pool when he comes over?
He has one of his guys come, but every once in a while he'll stop by and come, and my kids will come out and say what's up to him, and I'll come out and hang out with them, and we kind of clean the pool together. If he comes, I go out there and I help him.
I love that.
It's great. I love that. My pool is like it's the best pool on his route. It doesn't get any leaves in it. There's no trees around it. It's got a fence
nice.
Around it, so it's good.
That's nice. All right, good to have you back. We're back at it again on Friday. We'll probably do, what, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific for those
yes.
of you that want to join us live. Fun show. Not sure what we accomplished other than Trevor's into home plate having an erection.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
Solves a lot of problems, bro.
Certainly should. To all the beekeepers.
And then look at the sponsorship, the little Viagra plate.
Oh, don't. Yeah, that Viagra moment. You could do the replay sponsored by, well, or whomever you want to sell it to. We're not here to tell you.
You're welcome, MLB.
We're building blocks one at a time around here. for our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented home plate-raising Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose. We will see you Friday on Baseball Today.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.